Chapter 12, The Gravity of the Source Field. In life, afterlife, and reincarnation, we have a continuing consciousness that is unified with the greater mind of this cosmos. Pyramid technology appears to have been built to concentrate this intelligent source field energy for biological, psychological, and even spiritual healing. Thanks to the Global Consciousness Project, we now have compelling evidence that our own minds can also create a direct, measurable effect on how electricity flows throughout wires, components, and computer chips all over the world. It appears that in moments of great tragedy, or times when many of us focus on the same event, our minds create worldwide hiccups in the flow of energy. Our thoughts do seem to create an energy that directly affects the behavior of others. Einstein was ultimately looking for a unified field that he could build the entire universe from. All space, all time, all matter, all energy, all life, and of course, all of consciousness. In the famous E equals mc squared equation, you have energy on one side and matter on the other, which means that matter must ultimately be made of energy. Einstein hoped to prove that electromagnetic energy was the unified field, which would mean that the flow of time, as well as gravity, was an electromagnetic effect. He was never able to prove this was true, nor has anyone else since then. Einstein did, however, acknowledge that there had to be an energy in empty space that could make time speed up or slow down, depending on how fast you moved through it. Indeed, many scientists are looking for the unified field, and they have created a variety of different names for it: zero-point energy, virtual particles, quantum foam, dark matter, dark energy, and others. If anyone does solve the puzzle, the payoff is huge, as once you understand how to access the unified field, you could theoretically control gravity and time. The source field we've already talked about seems to fit these concepts perfectly. We just have to learn to think in an entirely new and unexpected way. If there is a unified field, and most physicists are convinced there must be, it would automatically, by design, be responsible for creating all matter in the universe. We're not just looking at an energy that drives the flow of time. We're looking at the source of all space, time, matter, energy, and life in the universe. It does not appear that the source field created the universe in a single spontaneous Big Bang, in which all atoms then keep on running for infinity with no new energy input. By design, the source field is actively responsible for keeping matter going, moment by moment. Scientists normally assume that atoms and molecules will just keep on spinning and spinning forever, without ever running out of energy. Dr. Hal Puthoff suggested they must be drawing off of an energy field in order to exist, just like a candle flame must burn oxygen and wax in order to stay lit. Since most single atoms are nice round spheres, the source field will flow into atoms equally from all directions. The flow into the Earth would obviously behave the same way. We would see a spherical current of source field energy flowing into it, moment by moment, to keep all the countless atoms and molecules that make up the Earth humming along. The source field also needs to flow into all living creatures on Earth. We have now seen very strong evidence that all life forms on Earth must continually absorb photons of light and store them in their DNA in order to survive. The source field apparently creates these virtual photons when there is rotating vortex movement within the field itself. For biological life, the most important frequency is 380 nanometers. If this frequency gets scrambled, our DNA can't absorb and store the light it needs, and we develop cancer. It appears that gravity is actually caused by a massive current of energy flowing into the Earth. The Earth is obviously made of atoms, and my friend and colleague Dr. Nassim Harriman made a strong argument that atoms are gravity-powered. Harriman studied the energy fields and behaviors around a black hole and found that they looked exactly the same as what we see around the nucleus of an atom. In Harriman's model, an atom is a mini black hole where protons are attracted to each other by gravitation rather than some mysterious, undefined strong force. Another paper that convincingly argues that atoms are gravity-powered is Central Oscillator and Space Quantum Medium. Harriman has also concluded that space-time is fluid-like, which is a very important point, as we will see. In July 2010, a respected physicist concluded that gravity is a side effect of something going on at deeper levels of reality, and there is something more basic from which gravity emerges. And this may explain mysteries such as dark energy and dark matter. Obviously, if atoms are gravity-powered, then every object will have the same flow going through it that the Earth does, but on a much smaller scale. Objects on the Earth's surface would then get caught up in the much greater river of energy that is flowing down into the Earth. Gravity may therefore be pushing us down, not unlike mosquitoes being blown against a screen window by a gust of wind. Most people still talk about the pull of gravity, as if it were somehow reaching up from the ground and pulling us down. It seems to make much more sense to consider the idea that gravity is a push, as Walter Wright suggested in his 1979 book of the same title. The specific details of Wright's model may not all be correct, but he does seem to be on the right track. Again, this would mean that gravity is the source field. The source field is gravity. These may well be two different names for the same thing. We just didn't understand what gravity really was. Pyramid technology explained. When we have a perfect sphere, the flow of the source field into that object would obviously be spherical. Now here is a significant question. How would the source field flow into the shape of a pyramid? Would it be equally as symmetrical? Obviously, if the object is not symmetrical, the flow will not be symmetrical either. The pyramid shape apparently acts like a funnel and causes a vortex to form in the source field as it flows in, just like water swirling down the drain. This appears to be one of the single most important physics principles we have missed, but the ancients were seemingly well aware of it. Some people might think that each atom would act like an individual separate unit, where the flow never spills over into its neighbors. Instead, the source field appears to be flowing through the entire object, with all of its atoms, as a single large vortex. The shape of the object then determines how the fluid-like energy flows. Some shapes could create powerful currents just by sitting there, causing them to act like machines that run with no moving parts. In 1995, Dr. Harold Aspdin discovered a remarkable swirling effect inside a magnetic rotor, the central rotating part of an engine. Aspdin's experiment involved an 800-gram rotor that was spun up to a cruising speed of 3,250 revolutions per minute from a dead stop. Normally, it took 300 joules of energy to get this to happen. However, if you run the rotor for 5 minutes or more and then bring it to a complete stop, it only takes 30 joules of energy to get it going again. If you do it within 60 seconds, it now takes 10 times less energy to get the motor up to speed. the overall effect takes several minutes to wear off completely. This implies that once the spinning rotor comes to a complete stop, there is still some form of energy swirling around inside of it, which Dr. Aspdin called virtual inertia. The experimental evidence is that there is something spinning of an ethereal nature coextensive with the machine rotor. It can spin independently and take several minutes to decay, whereas the motor comes to rest in a few seconds. Two machines of different rotor size and composition reveal the phenomenon, and tests indicate variations with time of day and compass orientation. This discovery was unexpected, as it has crept in loud and clear in a project aimed at testing a motor principle totally unrelated to vacuum spin. It has appeared obtrusively, and I do not yet know whether, in adapting to its presence, it can serve in improving machine performance or become detrimental. I propose that gravity is what pushes on the rotor to get it spinning again with 10 times less energy. You create a flowing current in the source field, and it will still be there for a while. It doesn't immediately disappear. The pyramid structure appears to operate on the same basic principles: a solid-state machine with no moving parts that creates a stable ongoing vortex in the source field simply due to its shape. The flowing pyramid current doesn't seem to have any noticeable effect on the downward force of gravity, which is a much larger river of energy moving through the whole area. But the pyramid shape does create a dramatic increase in the coherence and structure of its surroundings, apparently by creating a measurable spin in the fluid-like flow of gravity. This, in turn, generates greater crystallization and organization within physical matter, and dramatically improves the health of biological life. Of course, other shapes would create source field currents as well, such as cones and cylinders. Let's think back to Lyle Watson's quotes from his book Supernature that we shared earlier. A French firm patented a specially shaped container because it made better yogurt, claiming it somehow improved the microbial action. Czechoslovakian beer makers got better fermentation when they used round barrels instead of angular ones. A German researcher found that mice would heal faster in spherical cages. And Canadian architects discovered that schizophrenic patients showed a sudden improvement once they were relocated to a trapezoid-shaped hospital ward. We are now concentrating and focusing the energy of mind just like we might work with water or electricity, and the results are impressive. Dr. Viktor Grebennikov made many breakthroughs with these same principles, studying what he called the cavity structural effect. He initially discovered the effect from bee honeycombs. There was a noticeable tingling and burning sensation in his hand over certain types of honeycombs. He also noticed that when bees got lost on the way back to their hives late at night, they would start trying to ram themselves right through the brick wall of the building, as if they could feel the energy of their hive, which was directly on the other side of the wall. Grebennikov also speculated that bees were naturally attracted to the shape of flowers by the same effect. By simply creating a chair with honeycombs or a stack of egg cartons suspended over the top of it, he got noticeable healing effects and was granted Russian patent number 206-1509 for this invention. Einstein discovered that space and time were completely indivisible, two manifestations of the same underlying energy. This suggests that as the source field, gravity, flows into an atom, it drives the flow of time within the atom as well. The speed of time would then be determined by the speed of the motion inside the atom. As the flow inside the atom becomes more coherent, time begins moving faster inside of it as well. This is an extremely important concept, as it suggests that there could be much more variation in the flow of time from one local area to another than we ever imagined. Sid Hurwicz may have independently discovered the Aspin effect, the swirling energy we just found inside a magnet, and found a way to drive that flow into a current, not unlike a propeller creating a powerful vortex in water. This appears to be how he created such a massive change in the flow of time within a local area. Pierre Luigi Ighina may have discovered the same thing with his magnetic stroboscope, shaped like a strange propeller, which was able to immediately open a hole in the clouds over his lab. We already have a great start on a working model, but if this is really how things work, then we need to find more evidence. We need to invent some way to observe the flow of time in the laboratory on a very sensitive mechanical level. Precise digital clocks are built on the component level with a form of shielding that stops them from being able to detect these fluctuations easily, as we will discuss. Once we find an appropriate system to detect the flow, we could potentially catch time in the act of speeding up and slowing down. We may even find ways to change that speed on our own, just like Sid Hurwicz apparently discovered. This would obviously require innovative new designs that most scientists had never thought of. So what are the options? Let's think back to the rotation of the Earth on its axis. When the Sun gives off a burst of energy, the Earth's rotation slows down. The rotation of the Sun's inner core changes the speed of radioactive decay rates. These effects may be caused by a change in the flow of time. What if we used a spinning gyroscope to give us a much smaller model of the Earth's rotation in the laboratory? If we could change the flow of time in a small local area, wouldn't the speed of the gyroscope also change in that same spot? This is exactly what Dr. Nikolai Kozarev discovered in the 1950s. Kozarev's stunning breakthroughs. Kozarev started out as a bright, gifted Russian scientist with a great future ahead of him. He was the first to propose that there may be ice on the moon we could use for water, so we could eventually live on bases up there. Tragedy struck when the fascist policies of Stalin condemned him and many other scientists to spend years in concentration camps. Stalin knew scientists were more apt to be free thinkers who would oppose his hardline communist policies. While suffering through the horrors of the concentration camp, Kozarev worked out the concept of a changing flow of time, and he began conducting experiments to prove his ideas once he got free in the 1950s. An incredible scientific revolution was triggered, leading to over 10,000 papers being published as of 1996. More than half of these papers were written by Russian scientists, though others have explored these areas as well. This research has awesome implications, including a variety of usable new technologies. Since the flow of time can ultimately affect gravity, weather, electromagnetic devices, and the human mind, any nation that knew how to control it would have a clear tactical advantage. Thus, the Soviet government kept much of this research classified for national security. It wasn't until after the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991 that more of this groundbreaking information became available to the general public, ultimately thanks to the internet. But most of the scientific community is still unaware of it. If it wasn't for this robust, largely classified scientific background, Dr. Alexander Gulud would probably never have spent the money to build his pyramids. The problem with keeping all this information secret is that this science contains many of the blueprints for a golden age. We've already seen how it can create miraculous healing effects, including completely regrowing human teeth, as well as dead or diseased organs. Ordinary water becomes a miracle cure that can save premature babies that would otherwise almost certainly die. Anything harmful to the human body becomes transformed into a non-toxic substance. Radioactivity is alleviated. Earthquakes, atmospheric disturbances, and all other potential calamities are greatly reduced. Our overall level of intelligence and insight appears to increase, perhaps because the energy in our holographic brain is moving faster. This faster vibrational speed in the holographic brain may be causing our thoughts to move faster, making our overall IQ steadily increase. DNA can be seen like a jigsaw puzzle with more than one solution, so we can transform into a higher level of what it means to be human. And now, we're also finding out that we may even be able to control time.